Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, will join us. We will talk college football, some World Series, maybe some NFL. We'll try to fix his Jets. I'll maybe rub it in a little bit how bad his Jets are. But we will talk to the Bear in a minute, but we will start with baseball here, and the World Series is set. A really good Game 7, just an awful loss for the Mariners. And I talked about this. Once it even got to 2-1, 2-2, I said, if the Mariners ever lost this series, what a devastating, absolutely just brutal loss for the Mariners, for their fans. Up 2-0 in the series. Up 2-0 in Game 3 in the first inning. Julio Rodriguez hits the ball a mile. They're up 2-0. They got a man on second where you're a base hit away from being up 3-0 or 4-0. And you're going to be up 3. The place is going crazy. You're thinking, all right, this is going to be a short series. To lose that, get buried in Game 3, buried in Game 4. Actually come back and win Game 5. You go to a Game 7, and you're up 2 runs in the 7th inning. Boy, never been to a World Series to lose that way. It's never easy to lose anyway. But, you know, something about baseball, when it's such a long season, it goes for all these sports. But 162 games to go through that, go through a postseason, to be that close, to be that big of a favorite, and to just not be able to get it home. Just a brutal, absolutely gut-wrenching loss for the Mariners. And just think about, and I talk about this with all these sports, think about what you have to go through to get back. Enjoy your holidays, Thanksgiving in a month or so, then Christmas, New Year's, then eventually a month or so after that, 6 weeks after that, you get spring training. And then you get 6 weeks of spring training just to get ready for the season and another 162 games. And if you're lucky, you get back to the playoffs. You have to win a round, maybe a second round. And just to be the round, just to get back to the round you were just in, just from a psychological standpoint, the mountain you have to climb of just starting over and how hard it is to get back and everything you have to go through and you might never get back and just brutal. Now, they might have lost to the Dodgers anyway. They probably would have. Dodgers were going to be favored, big favorites over anybody, but that is just absolutely gut-wrenching, painful, brutal, and any adjective you want to use. Just hard to get over for Seattle. I did not think the manager did a great job, Wilson. I have a hard time getting beat with that reliever. And there was a lot of things over the course of the series. I didn't love the bunt early on. I just think you got to go to Munoz in that spot. Your third or fourth best reliever. Do you really want to get beat with him? I know it's early, and maybe Munoz can't get you 7-8 outs. But worry about the ninth inning after. Let him go as long as he can go. Let him get you 5 or 6 outs and just see what he can do. And go down with your best guy. And you know what? If he runs out of gas in the ninth inning or he starts to get in trouble or the pitch count gets up there, you got Gilbert. You got Castillo. You got anybody. And who knows? Maybe you score 3 or 4 runs in the ninth inning and it's not relevant. I would hate that if I'm Seattle to go down not using my best reliever. The bunt early on when Bieber was in trouble wasn't great. You're bunting to get Rivas up there, who's a career minor leaguer. He strikes out. He swings and misses the ball by a foot. That was a terrible at bat he had. I get it. You want to put yourself in a position where you can tack on runs and just a fly ball gets you a run, that kind of thing. But I don't know. A lot of reasons to be frustrated if you're Seattle. Good for Mattingly, though. Don Mattingly, one of the assistants for the Blue Jays, finally, after all these years. And think about his baseball life. All of those years for the Yankees, he retires. They win the World Series the year after. Comes back as a coach for the Yankees. They blow the 3-0 lead to Boston. He's in the prime Torrey years. He's on that bench for a lot of those years. Doesn't make a World Series, doesn't win a World Series, and didn't make one. Manages the Dodgers, doesn't get there. I mean, think about it. You're with the Yankees as a player, Yankees as a coach, Dodgers as a manager, all of these different opportunities to not be in a World Series is almost like statistically impossible, but he is there. We'll see how it goes. Dodgers are minus 215 favorites for the series. I think they win the series. Like I said, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how the layoff affects the Dodgers. They clinched Friday against the Brewers. They won't play until this Friday. I don't love the 3-day layoff. I think it's a little much. I get, last year when it was the Yankees and the Dodgers, you got a little time to build the hype. And last year it was a really long layoff because the Yankees clinched on Saturday night. The Dodgers clinched on Sunday. Then you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. People, if you're a fringe fan, you just kind of forget about baseball season. It's out of sight, out of mind. But I think the Dodgers, I don't know, 5, maybe 4. 4 seems disrespectful. We hit that Brewers to sweep the Brewers last round, plus 750. It's plus 650 to sweep the Blue Jays. I think it's in play. The one concern for L.A., Toronto just puts the ball in play so well. They're so good at putting it in play. And Dodgers have a lot of pitchers that are strikeout guys and rely on pitchers. So it's strength on strength. But would you be shocked if the Dodgers won the series 4-0 or 4-1? I'm sure the Blue Jays fans are listening to this and saying, "Aren't you going to disrespect us, discount us?" There's a little element to that, but you know, you got to pick somebody. I don't think it's going to go seven. Maybe they get a sixth game, and who knows? It's baseball. It's a short series, but I'll say Dodgers in five. I do think that plus 650. I don't know. I mean, you got to win four games. You're better off just playing game by game by game. You might be better off doing that. But I'll say Dodgers in like five. I think that's a prediction, even though I do understand taking a shot at the plus 650 sweep price. But I mean, it's interesting. They're up to like minus 150 favorites here, 145, 150, depending on where you look for game one. The Dodgers are. And that open minus 130 something. And we don't have announced pitchers yet. I'm guessing it will be Snell versus Gausman. Everyone can just kind of reset and go to the top of the rotation. They're up to minus 157 now at DraftKings, total 7.5. So once you get to LA, the problem with the money line rollover, you're going to be laying over $2 maybe in some of these games, especially when Otani's pitching and Glasnow's pitching and the Blue Jays aren't throwing Bieber the back of their rotation. So I don't mind taking the plus 650, even though I would, if anything, if I had to pick, if you had to just, hey, pick how long the series goes, who wins and how many games, I think it would be Dodgers in five. And that is the short shot. Dodgers in five, if you're looking at these correct series score, Dodgers in five is plus 330. Dodgers in six, plus 380. Dodgers in seven, plus 475. Blue Jays in seven is plus 550. Dodgers to sweep, plus 650. If you're ambitious and you think the Blue Jays are going to sweep this, 20-1. Blue Jays in five, 12-1. I wouldn't necessarily take a shot on any of those numbers, but we'll see. Hopefully we get a good series. And look, nobody expected Toronto to be here. I remember doing one of the shows. I think it was with Parles or somebody where, he and I both had made the point a bunch of times doing these before the season, early in the season. If you have an inkling on a team as a sleeper, the American League was where to look because it wasn't a strong American League. It was in the National League, you had the Dodgers and the Phillies and the Mets we thought were going to be really good, and yet the Cubs and all these different teams. There was a lot of imbalance, and the American League with Soto leaving, the Yankees were good, they weren't great. Nobody in the AL West seemed great, nobody in the Central. It just wasn't a great league. This was a league where somebody could emerge as a sleeper, and credit to Toronto. I think they were 40-1 to make the World Series, something like that. So credit to them, and they'll take on the Dodgers here in the World Series. And it was a great game. I mean, anytime you get a Game 7 to go to the World Series and you hit a three-run series-winning homer in the seventh, I mean, the building was going crazy. That was just a dramatic moment. And I didn't really have a rooting interest either, which was kind of made it more fun to just kind of enjoy it and watch it neutrally. But great win for the Blue Jays, and what a just painful, I know I keep saying it, what a painful loss that is for Seattle. As far as like an MVP, and we'll probably do more of this on the Friday show as we get closer to the series. It's hard to pick an MVP because if Ohtani's going to pitch, do you really want to take him? He's plus 180 to win World Series MVP. If he's going to do anything offensively and throw a good game, he's obviously going to be the big favorite to win, but do you really want to lay plus 180 or take the plus 180? Guerrero 6-1, Freeman 9-1, Springer 10-1, Teoscar Hernandez is 18-1, Snell is 18-1, Betts is 20-1, Will Smith is 30-1. Yamamoto at 35-1. Here's the thing. If I had to take a shot on anybody, if you just give me a $100 free bet, free roll, what's the best bang for your buck? Snell at 18-1. If you think it's going to go five and Snell is going to pitch game one and possibly the clincher in game five, if that's how it turns out, and he'd have two of the five wins in the series and he throws two good games and he's been thrown incredibly, incredibly well here. That could be a scenario where they give it to Snell. Obviously, Ohtani's the favorite and the rightful favorite, but I think Snell at 18-1. Of all of these is interesting. I'd like a little more, but that's at DraftKings too. So shop around. But Snell at 18-1 would be one if I had to pick. Quickly before we get to Bear, NBA underway on Tuesday. Rockets and Thunder actually playing as we speak here. I like, and you can bet these win totals pretty much every day. A couple that I like, these win totals. And we'll have some guests on. We'll keep tabs on the NBA. It's just hard with football and everything going on. And NBA night to night is hard. We'll go through some of these awards and futures in the next couple of weeks. All this stuff stays up. I don't feel a need to rush. But some win totals I do like. OKC at 62.5. That team's really going to lose 20 games. They're deep. They're great. They're young. They're hungry. I don't think the one title is going to make them be in a situation where they say, all right, we got our title. We'll just kind of mail it in. We'll be a 3 or 4 seed, and we'll see in the playoffs. I think they're still going to have that edge, that hunger, and they're just deep and loaded, and they've got picks to trade. They're just I think that's a team that's 68, maybe 70 wins. They're that good. They're that deep. They've got a good home crowd. I think that is a good bet. Phoenix under 31.5. Man, it's Booker and a bunch of spare parts. The West is really good, and Booker misses time. He gets hurt a lot. They could trade Booker, which if you're the Suns, why wouldn't you trade Booker? You have no picks. You have no play. I mean, you're just not a good team, and you don't have your picks. And in the West, I think they could just get swallowed up. So Booker could get hurt, could get traded. The West is really good. I like Phoenix under 31.5. And boy, life comes at you quick. Indiana under 37.5 is what I like too. And it seems like just a couple weeks ago, and it was just a couple weeks ago pretty much, they were in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. They had a lead at halftime. 24 minutes away from winning a championship. Under 37.5, though, is my play here. No Haliburton. Miles Turner's off the team. I just think Haliburton was such a big part of their identity that, you know, how do they get to flirt with 500? I know the East is not very good. It's the opposite of the West. Almost a little bit like we talked, not, a little more extreme, but the American League and the National League, the leagues aren't balanced. But I just think the Pacers, I know Carlisle raises your floor. The East is bad. There are reasons that I've seen people like the over. I got to see it to believe it. So I like under on the Pacers at that 37.5. So Thunder over 62.5, Suns under 31.5, Pacers under 37.5. And there's two ways to look at this. He's like, I don't want to tie up my money from now until April. That's one way to look at it, but you got action every night. You can just check the box scores. You have a rooting interest in these teams every night if you do play these season win totals. So those are the three I like. And again, Snell at 18-1 World Series MVP, I think is the best bet among those. Picks on Monday were actually good. Texans team total got under. Lions got home. Picks were decent on the money games. That was lower scoring than I thought, though. I like the over more than the under in that Lions game. And the Lions, that was a weird game. The Lions just kept getting opportunity and opportunity. Tampa couldn't do anything. It really felt like both those games on Monday were going on forever. I think it was like 1:30 in the morning that Texans-Seahawks game just kept dragging on, and Texans just kept giving them Texans kept getting opportunity after opportunity. So Seahawks are good, though. Seahawks might be a playoff team. Lions bounce back. So I get the sense that Baker Mayfield, that the Bucs story, the Baker Mayfield story, if you have MVP tickets, I just get the sense that peaked too early. I feel like they're fading. I feel like they're good, but with no Evans now, they're not a great team. They're more like a 9, maybe 10-win team. I think there's a little bit of good fortune in their win so far. But we'll see what Bear thinks. We'll talk World Series. We'll talk college football a little bit more. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him. Fox Sports, the Bear Bets podcast. Big noon kickoff. It is the great Chris Felica Bear. Thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
I'm good. I got another nice CLV dumpster contribution with the Mariners 10-1 to win the American League on top of the Carson Beck 33-1 Heisman. So we're killing them this week with the CLV. We're doing good.
Tough. It's tough. Did you have a problem before we get to like the World Series? Did you have a problem? Because I had a buddy who has the had the Mariners at some great price. I think 9-1 to win the AL, 33-1 to win it all. He was just killing Dan Wilson. Didn't like the bunt. He felt like he got beat with your fourth best reliever going against Springer there. Did you have a problem with Wilson, how he managed the game and how he managed the series?
The fourth best. I get the reliever. Like he had pitched. Didn't he pitch two innings the day before? And look, I know Munoz hadn't been used in a while, and maybe it's a bit of a risk to bring your closer in the seventh. But if you got him, it's obviously the biggest at bat of the game. Wouldn't you rather die with him on the hill than Bizardo? That I had a problem with, yeah.
Yeah, and look, you say maybe he can't get all those outs. Well, you worry about the ninth inning and the ninth inning. If you have to go to Castillo or Gilbert or whoever, just get out of that inning. Who knows? Maybe you score three or four runs in the eighth or the ninth, and it's a 7-1 game, and anyone can pitch. So exactly. I agree.
And that's what you saw from Toronto. You bring in Gausman in a spot where you just clearly their bullpen is taxed, and they don't got guys that you can trust. Bringing your best starter. Put your best players in there. The season's on the line. You go to the World Series for the first time ever. You got one of the best closers, if not the best closer in the game. The fact that he's not out there in a super high leverage situation to try and get the only Blue Jay with postseason experience out, it seemed like a little bit of a managerial faux pas right there.
Do you give the Blue Jays much of a chance against LA? LA minus 215 or so favorites. How do you look at this series?
Like there's a part of me that just based on price alone says, yeah, I'd like to take a shot. But like the realist in me, how do they win 4 out of 7? Like, it just seems like it's asking a lot. Like, the amazing thing is that the Blue Jays have done this without Bichette either. Like, to not have your either best hitter or a second best hitter in the lineup, being that's amazing to me. But I just think that the Dodgers now, with another week of rest to get their arms healthy and intact, whoever you're not going to start, you're going to have available in the bullpen. It just seems like it's going to be a tall task to ask Toronto to win 4 out of 7.
Yeah, I remember we were doing one of the baseball previews. It might have been on your podcast or somewhere else, where I was like, I know Max Scherzer's not going to pitch month, but he's their fifth best starter. They got some good depth. Of course, I didn't act on it. I didn't do anything. So I feel like I don't know, missed one with Toronto, but nobody really saw this coming, even though if you thought they were maybe a sleeper, like make the playoffs. They've been so disappointing in past years that, I mean, who was thinking they're going to make the World Series, win the World Series? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, no, the Jays were kind of they were kind of that trendy team in 2024. Like, people thought they were going to be good in 2024, but they were just a year ahead of things.
It's the year after the hype, and I feel like, they were hyped for a couple years and just felt like that core had just kind of, I don't know, wasn't going to work. Maybe trade Guerrero, and here they are, 4 wins away from a championship. Yeah. It's incredible. If I gave you a free roll, MVP, Ohtani +180, Guerrero 6-1, Freeman's 9-1. That's another one. I remember he was 30-1 last year. I looked at it, thought about it, didn't bet it. Of course, he won. Springer's 10-1. You tell me anyone you're thinking of, and I can give you a number. $100 free roll, whatever free roll. You're using it on who?
I would use it on... I don't want to say Ohtani because the price is too short.
Right.
Give me what's Teoscar?
Teoscar Hernandez, 18-1.
Give me that.
Are you thinking that Jorge Soler from a few years ago where he can just run into three or four homers?
That was nice. That was fun. Where are we right now in the postseason RBI race? Because I actually played him to lead the postseason in RBIs. I know we led for a while, and I think there was a little bit of a fall off. So where are we right now in Ribby's? He's one behind Vlade. Okay, so there we go. Now it's something to root for. Teoscar at 18-1 to have the most Ribbies in the postseason.
Yeah. So you're thinking what? I get the sense you're thinking Dodgers in
five
or so. Sweep it +650. Is that enough for you to take a shot at the sweep?
I think the Jays get one of the first two.
Yeah.
I think they do. I think this feels like a gentleman's type sweep. And then I'm still going to call it Sky Dome. I'm not going to call it Rogers Center. It'll always be Sky Dome to me. I think they'll get, maybe game two. And then, I think the Dodgers will end it out there in LA.
Yeah. I think you're probably, on the right track. Anything else in this series interest you? Most homers in the series, most hits in the series, most RBIs. I know you and I talked about most Ks before the postseason started, and maybe Todd threw it out in the group chat that Snell was his favorite bet, like 12-15-1. Of course, he didn't bet it. I don't know. Anything else on this series that you're interested in?
It's funny. Is he going to get multiple starts? Like, he's 8 behind Skubal against a team that doesn't really strike out much.
Right.
Like, that usually, like, the bets that Todd doesn't make, they usually win. But this could be one where Hashem comes back and does him a little bit of a favor for not betting Snell at, what was he, 30-1 or something like that? It was something.
Yeah, it was a nice number. And there was some variety. There was some variance in those numbers. So if you shopped around, you could have gotten a nice price. College football. Before we go, we'll just start with some big picture stuff. Mm-hmm. If I asked you the locks to make the playoff, Ohio State, Indiana. I don't know if you're willing to go Texas. You're willing to go Texas Tech yet? Would you still go Miami?
No, they got to win the league. I don't think they're a lock to win the league at all.
Who right now are your locks?
I think you would say Indiana's a lock. Ohio State's a lock. I think Alabama is a lock. I think Georgia is a lock. I think Oregon is close to a lock, but after that, I don't really know if I'd put anybody else in a lock situation. Like, I think Ole Miss is going to go 10-2, but could they lose the Egg Bowl at the end of the year? Sure. Do I think Miami's going to win out and go 11-1 and maybe not make the ACC title game and still get to the playoff? Yeah, I do. But I think there are some legitimate concerns with how poorly Beck played and how poor the offensive line was, and they couldn't run the ball. I like to think that Notre Dame is going to win out and go 10-2 and make the playoff, but could they slip up? Could Narduzzi pull an upset at Pitt? Sure. And get this, I know I tweeted out some stuff yesterday, and our buddy Mobland Randy replied to the thread about, like, there's this crazy scenario where you wouldn't think it, but what happens if Miami wins out, Georgia Tech beats Georgia, win out, go to the ACC championship game, lose to Virginia. Virginia gets in because they get the AQ. You got to put Miami in over Notre Dame because better record, won the head-to-head. And then Georgia Tech beat Georgia. So and they lost in the conference title game. Like, don't you kind of have to put Georgia Tech in? Like, there's just a bunch of ridiculous scenarios where maybe, like, the ACC gets three and Notre Dame kind of gets left out at 10-2. So while I think Notre Dame is one of the best, like, power rating them, like, five teams in the country right now, it's not a lock that they make it by any means.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's so if you're filling out the rest of the playoffs, like, who do you think the group of five team is? Who do you think? Is there a sleeper right now that's kind of off the radar that you can sneak in? Or is it, we know the 12 to, we know, like, maybe the 15 to 16 teams we're choosing from, and it's just going to be those 12 emerging from that group of 15 or 16? Or can somebody kind of come out of the woodwork here and make it?
Yeah,
like,
I give Vandy a shot. I give Vandy a shot, absolutely. I'm like, why can't they go to Texas and win? What about Texas's offense is scaring you? Why can't they go to Tennessee and win? Why can't they beat Missouri this week and go 10-2 and 11-1? Like, it's going to be really interesting because again, these ridiculous conferences with 16 teams now, you potentially have a chance for five or six 10-2 teams in the SEC, and they can't all go. So, and then maybe we'll hear the talk about, see, this is why we need to make it 16, 18, however many teams. I do think ultimately the American is the league that provides the group of five team. Boise just doesn't have the wins, and they got bombed in a head-to-head against South Florida. Whether that team is USF, whether that team's Tulane, whether that team is Memphis, remains to be seen. Obviously, the winner this week, USF-Memphis, is in a really good position to get to the American Championship game. For whatever reason, I'm still not all the way there with Navy in terms of getting there. Like, they're going to pick up that loss to Notre Dame next week and have a loss. And I don't know, maybe they can win the American and still get it, but I'm still not there with thinking Navy is a real contender to win that league.
Yeah, and I know we talked about it, and I gave it out before they played. It was at North Texas a couple Friday nights ago. South Florida, north of 4-1, I thought was a great bet. They're down to, like, just only plus 140 to make it. So it looks like South Florida, you know, is in good shape. We're in year two of this new playoff format. You like it? You don't like it? I would say I like it more than I thought I would. It just opens things up. There's more chaos. There's more conversations. I understand when Michigan beats Ohio State last year and it becomes irrelevant, that part of it you don't lump. So there's pros and cons like anything. But two years in here, what are you thinking of this system?
I am kind of in the same boat that you are. I like it more than I thought I would. I thought we were going to kind of lose a little bit of the regular season. I thought we were going to get some teams in the playoff that really didn't have a chance to win, but it was just going to kind of create a little extra excitement among fan base, but which I think that's true. Like, SMU didn't have a chance to win last year. Indiana didn't have a chance to win last year, but it created a good buzz and a good story. And I like the change what they did this year with kind of just doing the straight seating for the 1-4, which I think is good. I almost wish that you would get those quarterfinal games on those top four seeds home field as well. Like, really.
Yeah.
Not only give them an idle week or a bye to the quarters, give them a home game. Make them really that much more powerful and that much bigger of an advantage. But, I wasn't sure we were going to really see much of a change in terms of the group of teams that could win it. I thought we'd get some bad games, and we did. But I think what we saw in the semifinals last year and certainly the championship game, certainly it went a lot better than I thought it would, and I'm happy to admit that I was wrong.
It's fun having those games on campus too. It's just more environment. There's more of an atmosphere to it when those games are on campus. Who did you bet this week, college?
Did not bet anything yet. I am looking at Ole Miss, Oklahoma. I am a little surprised that Oklahoma is a 4.5-point favorite. That kind of caught my eye when I'm like, really, really? That Oklahoma offense, which I don't think is that good. I think it ultimately depends on how Ole Miss bounces back from that loss to Texas. I'm curious to see maybe if I get a if that game goes to five, maybe people think there'll be a little bit of a letdown, a little bit of I'm thinking layover, but hangover. Thank you.
Can't, sure.
I finally got it out. The Ole Miss defense was bad, but I don't think that Oklahoma offense is really going to exploit them. I want to bet Mississippi State, but I haven't quite pulled the trigger, and I probably should because I'm thinking those sevens are probably going to be gone real soon. Like, are we still doing this with Texas, like laying seven on the road? Like, their offense is not good. They got problems on the offensive line. Well, Arch was, what, 11 to 27 last week against Kentucky. Now you're going on the road again laying seven. I don't know. It feels like Mississippi State or pass. I want to bet Iowa State at minus 2.5, but BYU has gotten me a couple of times this year. So do I want to go back to that well with a team that really doesn't power rate very highly, but all they do is continue to win games? I want to see what happens with Washington, Illinois as well. Illinois, another team that beat me a couple of times early, especially with the Duke game. Washington feels like the right side here. See if I see a 3.5 out there at Hard Rock right now, and I see some fours at South Point and Circus. So maybe if I can get this down a little bit more and Illinois becomes a little bit more of a public trendy dog, then maybe I can come back around with UW, who plays so much better at home than they do on the road. But that's kind of where my mind is early in the week here.
NFL, I don't want to overreact, but it appears the Jets might not be good. Can I say that?
What
is that
makes
fair?
You see
oh, my
that?
Goodness. How do you fix this? If they put you in charge, if they hired you as a consultant, I know Woody's the problem. Like, where would you start? I didn't think it would be this bad. It's just a disaster. Glenn is just completely over his head. You know, he won the press conference. He's mm-hmm. you know, colorful quotes and things like that, energy and enthusiasm. He's just in over his head. I guess they give him a second year. I'm not sure. I don't know. You take the floor here and fix the Jets.
I think they're going to give him a second year. I think what you need to do for the players that are in that locker room, and Jeff and I have talked about this, Schwartz, on the pod, like the players know, like, that Justin Fields does not give them a chance to win, and that Tyrod Taylor gives them the best chance to win. I think you just have to admit the deal that you gave Fields was a mistake. You tried. You were year five. The 5-year sample size. Wow, imagine that. He isn't going to be a competent NFL starting quarterback. Who would have imagined that? You play Taylor for as long as you can. Maybe he gets you a win or two, but at least you give, I don't want to say the illusion, but you give the impression that you're actually trying to win games by giving the other 54 players, 53 players on the roster, okay, this is the guy that gives us the best chance to win. We know we're not a great team. We may not win many games, but we're at least trying. And then you got to just have a GM in there that I don't know what's going to happen at the top of the draft. If you're going to pick one, if you're going to pick two, it doesn't seem like really there's a lot of difference between some of these quarterbacks, but someone's going to want a quarterback. And if I were the Jets, I'd be doing kind of what Parcells did the year they had all those picks and they took Abraham and those other guys at the top of the draft, try to trade back and accumulate as many high draft picks as you can, because it's a team with a lot of holes. Is there really that much difference between, say, I'm just throwing Linares Sellers and Carson Beck or Fernando Mendoza and what other quarterback you want to say is out there? Maybe in their mind there is, maybe in talent evaluators' mind that there is, but this is a team that clearly is much more than a quarterback away. Like, the people that say, oh, trade Garrett Wilson, trade Breece Hall, what are you getting in draft capital for a running back in the NFL? Not much. What are you getting for Garrett Wilson? Probably more, but still, I don't think you're getting a first-round pick for him. So, like, I would keep them and just try and trade that pick, whatever it is, one, two, three, top three pick. Hopefully someone will want one of those quarterbacks, trade back, pick up a second, pick up another first, and just try and build a roster with good players.
Do you like any of the quarterback? You think it's a good year to need a quarterback? Like, do you like these guys, Mendoza, Beck, Simpson, all these guys?
I thought it was going to be better than what it is. In watching the game so far, like I was wrong on Simpson. He's better than I thought he was. Like, if you listen to and look at Dan Orlovsky on his social media feeds, like, he is super high on Simpson. He thinks he's QB1. So, like, if you come away with one of those guys, I guess fine. But it certainly, like, we kind of joked about Aller and Klubnik and all these guys. Like, really? Come on. These guys are not NFL, like, type one franchise quarterbacks. So, but if you're picking up a later first-round pick or whatever else, and I think there are some guys in there that potentially could be available. And like I said, I don't know if there's that much of a difference, like, come next level when you're looking at Mendoza and Simpson and Beck. Like, it was funny, even Jeff Schwartz was talking about, like, watching Mendoza, and a lot of the throws that he makes are not really throws that are part of NFL offenses. It's a lot of outside the hatch as opposed to kind of seam in the middle of the field, and that's something that you really need to be able to do. And we'll see if he can do that at the next level. But it feels to me that it might be one of those years where it might be more quantity over quality. And if you're looking for an Arvell Reese or a Ruben Bain or a Mayoga or another type of guts type player, you could be in a really good position this year.
Last one. Does Belichick coach next year at North Carolina?
I think he does. I think he does. I mean, they showed a little bit of life last week. The conversations and the direction and the impression that he and Michael Lombardi and UNC are kind of letting off right now, it makes it appear that he's going to coach next year. I'm sure the next few games will go a long way in dictating that. The one thing that is interesting and maybe is the big tell about his job security is it's about how they're going all in, seems more with recruiting and kind of boasting about the top 15, 20 class that they have signed up right now. It's interesting because that's recruiting more indicates like a 2-3-4 year type long-term fix, which is all well and fine and dandy. But when you've got the Indiana example of a 1 year roster flip, Arizona State with Dillingham with like the 1 year roster flip, and you see that work in the portal, like, patience kind of runs out soon. So while maybe 10 years ago when you go in with a coach and you're like, okay, we need to recruit, lock up our state recruits and build it that way, that's great. But now I think fans and alumni and boosters and administrators are going to be like, okay, you go 3-9 this year, and then next year you go 4-8. It's like, okay, we need to see the results. We can't just, okay, we had the number 15 ranked recruiting class. We actually need to see that translate to wins on the field. But I do think next year he coaches, and if there's no improvement next year, that's when I think you could see a change and see people run a little bit restless.
Bear, you're the best, man. Appreciate you coming on, especially this day for you. NBA season starting, so I know you're excited.
I'm glad you had me on because it's just a way for me to kind of pass some time. I mean, kill that nervous energy of my anticipation for the NBA season. I was hoping we might be able to do a segment where Bear guesses NBA season win totals for a bunch of teams and just see how close I am to what the actual number is.
Clippers. I gotta look these up first before I quiz you.
Clippers, let's see. I'm gonna say this could be the year for the Clippers. I know the West is very good. I'm gonna say the Clippers win total, it's probably gonna be higher than it should be. I'm gonna say 46.5.
I think you're in the ballpark. Wow, 47.5. 47.5.
I am so sharp.
Atlanta Hawks.
Well, I know the Hawks are a buzz team because my agent my agent is an Atlanta guy, and his dad is involved in the Hawks organization. So I know that they're good, a big buzz team and a watered down East. I listen to far too many shows. Clearly, I'm demonstrating the knowledge. I'm going to say the Hawks are 42.5.
47.5 for the Hawks. Ooh. Hawks are a 50-win team or thereabouts. That's I know, really? There are people like them. That seems high.
Seems high.
The Pistons. We're not going to do all these, but a couple more Pistons.
Pistons. Made the playoffs last year, and I remember we had them in the. Didn't we have like Pistons in 7?
Pistons in 6 and a crazy number. They like blew every game late, and then it went. What did they lose in 6 or 7?
Yeah, I'm going to say Pistons 44.5.
The Detroit Pistons are 46.5.
Right.
So based on your numbers, you should be betting under here.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
I'm going to have to fire an under on the Hawks now.
The Memphis Grizzlies.
John Morant is still on the Grizzlies, right?
Yes.
Zach Randolph is no longer there. I know that.
He's there, but he's not. He doesn't contribute as much as he used to.
Okay, he has not contributed in a while. I don't think this is in a loaded West. Didn't they get absolutely drolled last year in the playoffs too? They lose by like 30, like every game to the Thunder.
The first game they did, and the next few were somewhat competitive. I think the night of the NFL draft, which is a night I don't like to talk about or think about, they were up like 25 and then blew it. And then game 4 was close, but yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say 39.5.
Pretty good, 40.5. You should just be making these numbers. Chris Andrews at the South Point should hire you to make his NBA numbers.
I was just going to say whether it's Chris Andrews or John Murray or Derek, yeah, get me in there. I know my NBA. Did you have to bring up draft night?
Oh.
By the way, I'm going to relive it right now. Idiotic, asinine trade by the Jags to trade up what they did and take Travis Hunter where they did. Idiotic, asinine move by the Raiders to take a running back. Like, just... We knew this going in, and that's why teams like the Jaguars and the Raiders are picking in the top 8 to 10 every year in the draft, because they make idiotic moves with a bunch of needs, and then you're drafting position players that aren't going to make that much of an impact at said position. So at least I didn't lose like 5 figures worth of money on those types of bets.
Banks 14-1, and then he closed like -300. It didn't go. That was just, man,
ridiculous,
frustrating. Bear, you're the best, man. Fox Sports, Big Noon Kickoff. Where else can we find you?
Gil every Friday, Felica and Fezzik Fridays. They're 11 Eastern every week as well. Here, you know,
you and Dr. Bob and Fez. That is like a 3-4-5. That is like. I don't know, Mansell Maris. I don't know what the appropriate 3-4-5 would be, but that is a lethal middle of the lineup when it's you, Dr. Bob, and Fez. You and the doctor, you leading off for the doctor and for Fez. That's quite the lineup.
Beautiful, I love it.
Bear, appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Bye, bud.
All right, that will do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to the Bear, Chris Felica. We'll do another contest soon with the Apple review. So keep those reviews coming on Apple. Use your phone, use your wife's phone, girlfriend's phone, whoever. Try to get those up. Try to get back the ones we lost from the old feed. But appreciate you listening. We'll be back Friday. We'll talk more World Series. See you then.